Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. Anybody here, say, I'll praise him. I yet praise him. And he all right. And he all. And he all. And he all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. I may not know three things. I may not know two things, but one thing I know is I know he's all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. Do you know he's all right? Don't fool me now. If you know he's all right, say he's all right. Tell your neighbor he's all right. Say yes. Say yeah. Let's magnify him. Come on, let's lift him up. Let's praise his name. Let's lift him up. Let's hallel God. Let's celebrate because he's been good to us. He kept me all year long. I've been here about 50 Sundays. Hadn't missed a one. But thanks be the Lord, our God in heaven, that I'm still here. I'm still going to lift.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this opportunity once again to hear from you. Our Lord, we pray that your word falls not on deaf ears, but open unto us the understanding of your word. Reveal to us the principles, so we may practice them for profit and give you the praise. We thank you in advance for the direction you shall give, for the understanding you shall impart. And God, we pray that our lives will be bettered because we have heard and heeded your word. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Out of this verse, I am speaking to the church today about prioritizing to profit. Prioritizing to profit. And it simply says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You may be seated. Prioritizing to profit. If I were to survey the church at this hour and ask, how many of you consider yourself prosperous? Many of you would raise your hands and say, I am. But just that we understand prosperity as the word would have us understand it, means that there is a balance in every area of life. John prayed for Gaius and said, I wish above all things that thou would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And so what that literally means is prosperity does not happen in totality in just one area of life. To say you're prosperous means that prosperity must be across the board. Even. You can't just have money and don't have no peace. You can't be in a right relationship with riches and a wrong relationship with God. There must be a balance. And so if you were to say that you're prosperous biblically, it would mean that everything is in subjection and gravity with God. Jesus is teaching this sermonic presentation, as it's called, when really again it is the Lesson on the Mount, that began in the fifth chapter of Matthew and ended in the seventh chapter of Matthew. And he's having a discourse. And he's sharing with the disciples and those who hear that one of the things that the believer must be clear about is his or her priorities. And in verse 33, this is so important because what he literally tells them, number one, to do is refocus. But seek ye first. He's telling them to refocus on their priorities and make sure that their priorities begin with God. Listen, when it says but, as the word first in verse 33, it is a transitional word, which means he was talking about something else and shifted the thought here. So if we back up to verse 32, he says, and after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of. And then you back on up to verse 24 and then walk back down, and you'll see what all these things are. And what Jesus was saying was the world, represented in the word Gentile, seeks those things, the stuff, rather than the source. And whenever you seek the things, the stuff, more than you seek the source, then you're always gonna lose out. He's saying that if you wanna be prosperous, you've got to make sure you put God first.
Now, I want to throw out parenthetically that he didn't say that we could not seek those things. He just said, don't seek them first. Don't put them ahead of God. Everything that we have need of, you're going to discover in Scripture that God has already provided for the believer. So one of the things is, it don't make sense to look for what God has already put there for you. What you need to do is fellowship with God so that God can open up your eyes to what he's provided for you that's already there. Have you ever been looking for something that's been right there in your face? And after searching and searching, and someone was there and looked and saw that you were looking and found no satisfaction, and you said, what's wrong? He said, well, I'm looking for this. And they go there and put their finger on and say, you mean this? And you say, oh, Lord, if it would have been a snake, yeah, it would have bit me because it was right there in your face, but you couldn't recognize it. So Jesus is talking to them about the things that they deal with and things that they need and that they encounter on a daily basis that's right there before their face, not recognizing that God has already provided it for them. God has already done what they're looking for him to do. And how much countless and wasteful time do we spend seeking out stuff that God has already provided, but we don't recognize? Look at what the verse says again. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's really talking about relationship with him and becoming a part of his spiritual kingdom. Understanding then and his righteousness means the rules of the kingdom, the ways of the kingdom, kingdom principles. You see, when you come into favor with fellowship with God, then it means you need to learn his language. You need to learn the king's language. You need to learn what pleases the king so that the king will extend the scepter to you, so that you will get requests given and mandated to you. You've got to know what the king wants you to know so that when you come to him, you can talk king talk. See, some of y'all don't know how to talk kingdom talk, so therefore you can't talk right to the king. And you can't talk no anyway to the king. And those who know how to talk to him get what they want to get. Because there are things he want to bless you with, but you've got to take it upon yourself and learn of him. And so, my brothers and sisters, when we begin to recognize that our priority must be our refocus, first seek him, first seek him. Think about what we've put before him already. Year has just begun, and already there are things that we've placed ahead of God. And yet you want this year to be different from any other year, but yet you've not done anything different this year. You've not given God his first place position. You've not handed over to God the things you want him to change. You've not removed your hands off of the things you said God will take care of. And so as a result of that, things continue the same. Prioritize by refocusing on God. And then you'll recognize that the resources already provided. The resources are already placed there. The resources are right in front of your face. And all these things. What things? Everything that the Gentile seeks after. Everything that the world is gone wild after. Everything that you have need on a daily basis of, God has already provided. So then why don't I have it if he's provided it? Because our priorities are out of order. And then because we don't understand our source, we go looking for the stuff. And the stuff can never ever take the place of the source. You see, unless you feed your spirit man with what it needs, food of the natural nature can never fill its hunger. We eat what's called soul food. But is it food for the soul? No ham hocks and greens and, yeah, chitlin and neck bones and all of that, some good eating. We call that soul food, but it does nothing for the soul. And so obviously we are missing God, just like we are missing the reality of what our soul needs. When my soul needs something, it don't need no peanut butter and jelly. It needs some spiritual food. It needs some meat from the Word of God. It needs to be refreshed in the water of God's Word. It needs what this flesh cannot eat. And so we've got to understand that God has provided for everything that I have need of, both in the flesh, the dust, and the spirit, divinity. When he made us, he incorporated in this earth realm and in the spirit realm everything necessary to sustain us. God's got it. Tell somebody God's got it. Tell somebody else God's got it. Well, what does God have? What you need? Listen, and I can't say it no better than this man I heard on the radio many years ago named Sam. He said, if Sam don't got it, you don't need it. And I agree with him. If God don't have it, you don't need it. I wish I had it, that shabu, yeah. If God don't want to have nothing to do with it, I don't have nothing to do with it. Don't need nothing to do with it. Don't want it in my. If God don't want nothing to do with it, it ain't worth nothing. And the Gentiles are seeking after stuff that only benefits the flesh, and don't realize that God has everything. All these things. And may I suggest to you that many of these things in the natural are meant for the natural and the here and now. There are some things that are not meant for the heavens that we plan to one day reside in. It's for this side. It's for this period. It's for this problem. And we've got to know how to understand the resources that God has provided for us. Some of us are going to and fro, working our fingers to the bone, trying to get what God's already provided. And we work so much and we go so much. Grandmother used to say, you running so fast, you're gonna pass up more than you catch up with. You got to slow down and find time for God. Finding time and putting God in that first place position means that you never run out of time for God. Somebody didn't catch that. I said, finding time and putting God in the first place position means you never run out of time for God. Why? Because if you put him first in your day, then you won't run out of day before spending time with God. But you get up and you start running from the first time in the morning, and your day is hectic and it's busy, and you don't get a minute to stop to reflect, to do this, do that, and the other. And before you know it, you're so tired, you are so filled with the activities of the day that you don't have time to spend with him at the end of the day, and the whole day is gone, and God has been left out of that day. But not when you put him first. You adjust your schedule. You prioritize your day. You put things in their right place and put God first. Amen. And then God shows you what he has for you, what he has already provided for you. How many times has God shown you in the aftermath that what you were looking for, he already had? Amen. That it was there all the time. All the time. But you didn't spend time to find out. And then lastly, it's rewarded personally. All these things shall, all these things shall be added unto you personally. You see, God rewards those who refocuses and put him in his proper place. He rewards you with gifts, with blessings, with talents and with time and with treasures. He gives you the ability to enjoy life because you enjoy the life giver. He gives you inspiration when you read his word and spend time with him. He gives you hope when things seem hopeless, when they seem like they're dark and dreary, when it seems like nobody could come out of this stuff that I'm in. And then you look in the book and he'll show you somebody who was in a worse position than you. Or you turn on the news and you'll see somebody in a worse predicament than you. And then he'll show you if he could do it for them. He can do it for you. If your problem, R.W. Schambach says, is not greater than the resurrection, then you ain't got no problem. In other words, no matter how difficult, even unto death, is your situation, if you have faith in God, what happens if you're praying that God, don't let this person die like Martha and Mary did, asking him to come and see about Lazarus before he died, but he delayed his trip. Had he come when he was called, he would have saved Lazarus before he died. And they would have been happy and still not understand or understood who he was. So he delayed his trip, not to deny their request. But sometimes when the Lord don't show up when you want him to, it's because he's got bigger things in mind. And so when he shows up later and Lazarus is dead, and the record says that Jesus is on his way back and the sisters hear of it, one get mad and don't even want to see him, and the other came out and said to him, "Oh, but if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said, "Listen, I understand what you're talking about, but I don't believe you understand what I'm talking about." He said, no. You're going to see your brother again. And they're like, "Look, Jesus, I have all this spiritual stuff today. I know I'll see him in the general resurrection, as the old folks say." But Jesus said, "No, I ain't talking about no general resurrection." He said, "Do you know who I am? I am the resurrection and the life." Then I love how he put this. He says, "Believest thou this?" Then he tells them, "Show me where you laid it. Let me put into action what I know you still haven't grasped, what you really don't believe. I can do what you don't have any idea I can do. Let me do what I am capable of doing. I can meet every need you've got, whether it's past, present, or future tense. And they bring him to where Lazarus is. And he tells them, roll back the stone. Because one of the things that you need to understand is there are just some things you put in the way that you're going to have to take out the way before Jesus answers your request. Some of y'all just missed that, went right over your head. There, just listen, he was going to raise Lazarus, but y'all put the rock in front of him. How you going to put a rock in front of the rock? You messing up here. You don't know what you're doing. You get this thing rocked. Move that rock out the way so that that person that he calls can hear and see him. And not all of the differences and the issues you place before him. And he makes one simple call, Lazarus. And I like the old Baptist preachers who didn't have theological training, who were smart enough to figure out that if he had just said, dead, come forth, that everything in the graveyard, and that was on its way to the graveyard, I wish I had a helper, would have come back to life. But he called him by name, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. And Jesus stopped him in the process and said, take those grave clothes off him. Loose him. But notice he didn't say that till after he restored life back in him. And my brother, my sister, all I'm trying to tell you is when you understand God and what he can do for you, he adds to you even what you are unable to imagine, because he has all power. And all these things shall be added personally unto you. That's your reward for putting God first in your life. My, how things will change, and they'll begin to change immediately underneath the skin when you put God in his proper place. Prioritize your life for prosperity. God bless you today. The doors of the church are open, whoever you are, my brother, my sister.
For my way, you're the... Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806, or call area code 225-774-8040. Leaving your name, address, and order. Or you can purchase today's message at Stars Beauty Salon, 525 16th Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, on Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Thursday and Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Southern Pediatric Clinic, Dr. Stella Grondaku-Emanuel is announcing new extended hours. Dr. Grondaku-Emanuel will be seeing patients Monday through Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., closed on Friday. We understand that your time is valuable. We will strive to get you in and out in an hour. After hours, nurse coverage is available. We're seeing patients from ages 0 to 21 years old. Phone today to make an appointment at 318-561-4200. Or walk in. We're located at 1416 Metro Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana, across the street from the post office. Southern Pediatric Clinic is a proud sponsor of 88.1 FM Alexandria, 92.5 FM Shreveport, and 98.9 FM Monroe. There is a master plan in store.
Cutting Services is a personal care attorney.